From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Mahalia Jackson Theater in New Orleans, Louisiana, Theater Sango. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
We can go home now.
Yeah. That open container law is really working for our benefit. Well, it's great to see you two. We were invited to come down and do our show here in New Orleans a while ago. But, you know, we travel a lot as it is, and Carl really wilts in the humidity. But we didn't want to be rude, so we just did this. We came up with this great idea. We said, sure, we'll come down and do the show in New Orleans just as soon as the Saints win the Super Bowl. Yep. No, we're thrilled to be here. We're incredibly excited to be here. We're also thrilled to have legendary New Orleans musician George Porter Jr. of the Meters. He'll be here on stage with us. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello. This is Jake Dinsdale in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Jake Dinsdale in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm going to say something. We've been to Salt Lake City to do our show. You're nice.
Thank you.
You're a little quiet there compared to this crowd here. Let me ask you something, Jake. Has the Jazz team there, have they expressed any desire to come back?
Well, if we're ever going to win one, I think we need to go back to New Orleans,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely. It's a winning town, you know. Jake, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hello, Mo.
Hi, Jake.
Next is the woman behind the advice column, Ask Amy, and the author of the memoir, The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Jake.
Next, it's a humorist and an author, most recently of Alphabet Juice, an honorary citizen of this fair city, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey, Jake.
Jake, you're going to start us off with a good old game of Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here is your first quote.
Not only did I grope him, I tickled him until he couldn't breathe.
That was a former congressman who lit up the night sky with the brilliance of his flame out this week. Who was it?
That was the congressman. Is it Eric Massa?
It was Eric Massa. Well done.
Tickle me, Eric.
Tickle me, Eric, they call him. It's like the Pillsbury Doughboy. The now former Democratic congressman from New York State had a number of explanations as to why he suddenly quit. First, he said he was resigning for health reasons. Then it was complaints that he had sexually harassed an aide. Then, finally, he said he was thrown under the bus by Democratic leadership. Fortunately, though, there were some good-looking mechanics under the bus. He could wrestle, so he was happy. Hearing his accusations against the Democratic leadership, Glenn Beck instantly booked him for his show. But instead of getting dirt on Obama, he got a bizarre confession of how, when Massa was in the Navy, he enjoyed, quote, tickle fights. Mm-hmm. Massa insisted, though, that these tickle fights were completely non-sexual. No, 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 no. Mainly because the man he tickled refused to have sex with him.
It's a...
The Greeks invented democracy.
They did.
And they tickled each other naked.
Constantly.
And never thought a thing of it.
I don't remember any of them having to resign.
No, it's fine.
It's a totally valid form of interrogation. It's tickle boarding. It's totally fine. I love the naked Rahm Emanuel.
Well, yeah, this is also true. He also said that he was once confronted by an angry Rahm Emanuel, the White House chief of staff, in the congressional shower. He said both men were totally naked.
Wow.
Emanuel denied the story, and sources suggest Massa may be confusing, in his distress, real life with a DVD he once rented called Legislative Bodies.
No. That was Rahm Emanuel, and now we know why he's called the Chief of Staff. God, if only Rahm had tickled Eric Massa, we'd have health care right now.
That's true.
That's all he had to do. Just tickle, yeah.
Jake, here is your next quote.
The time for talk is over. I'm tired of talking about it.
That was President Obama this week saying he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but he keeps on talking about it. What is it?
It's got to be health care.
It is. Ooh. It's true. President Obama has been going on so long about health care reform that children who were not yet born when he started are now protesting cuts in their Medicare. Obama says, though, he is making his last big push for health care. In fact, it's his 13th last big push for health care. It's like Cher's 9th farewell tour. And why should we believe it this time? Well, there are some signs the act is falling apart. David Axelrod is releasing a solo album. And sideman Joe Biden's been seen with Yoko Ono.
All this pushing, does he just need like an epidural or something? Just get it out.
All right, Jake, here is your last quote.
This show has gone so long. Avatar now takes place in the past.
That was Steve Martin making the standard joke about last weekend's big award show. What was it?
It had to be the Oscars.
It would be. The Oscars happened last weekend. The annual festival, during which gorgeous celebrities bestow honors upon each other while the rest of us make fun of their clothing, came and went, as it always does. It was notable this time for what did not happen. There were no big embarrassing musical numbers. There were no really big upsets or surprises. Although the guy who won Best Director this time did come out wearing a dress. That was odd.
I like that in the dead people montage, Carl Malden got the most applause. I measure that kind of stuff.
Were you upset that Farrah Fawcett was not included?
She should have. Logan's Run, she should have been included. I'm also upset that Meryl Streep has been nominated now. She has not won in 17 years. I think we're, as a nation, we're taking her for granted, and we need to reflect on that. She just keeps, you know... It's crazy.
Well, do you think if we don't give her an Oscar, like every decade, she'll stop?
No, I think. Well, I think no. I mean, I think that she should stop making movies for a couple of years and then teach us a lesson.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't give her
a world without Meryl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But she turns in these great performances. I'm moving to Canada next year if she doesn't win an Oscar.
There you go. Carl, how did Jake do in our quiz?
Well, Jake had 3 correct answers, Peter. So, Jake, you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Jake.
All right, thanks, guys.
Now, panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, we know the Tea Party movement has become more and more powerful. Now it threatens what national tradition?
I was not aware that we had any national
traditions left.
Well, it's a tradition that's celebrated in various parts around the nation. We got it from Britain, actually.
Boxing Day.
No, I don't know.
We got it from Britain and we celebrate it.
Yeah, people
it
do.
Involves tea?
Yes, it does.
Ooh. Tea Party.
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
The Tea Party affecting actual tea parties.
This
is the problem. It's like you want to have a tea party, so you put it online. I'm having a tea party. And the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of little old ladies with flowered hats coming over, plus 13 Montana militiamen with their assault rifles. Companies that sell tea or arrange tea parties like the American Girl Place stores do are running into the confusion with the political movement. They might even have to change the name. Now stop calling them tea parties. Huh. Not only that, but little kids are getting confused too. Oh. More and more parents are walking into their little girls' doll tea parties and they find Barbie saying, "You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead plastic hands." Ooh, Raggedy Ann doesn't want to be taxed at all. And Dora's concerned about the budget deficit, isn't she?
Oh, I love a secessionist can.
Yeah. Here's an example of the kind of thing that's going on. A man in Memphis decides he wants to open a store, sell fine teas. He calls it the Memphis Tea Party. Mm. Turns out there's a Memphis Tea Party, and the internet is all confused. So he decided to change the name of the store to a name that would bother nobody who would ever actually do anything about it. Mm. He now calls it the Democratic Party. Thank you so much. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
This is Stephen Lance from Oak Ridge, North Carolina.
Hey, Stephen. Welcome to the show. What do you do there in Oak Ridge?
I'm a computer programmer.
I see. Do you do anything for fun?
Yeah, I brew beer.
There you are. They want some, Steve. Steven, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction, of course. Carl, what is Steven's topic?
There you go, Mrs. Obama. Problem solved.
The First Lady's campaign to fight the obesity epidemic is just getting revved up. And what do you know this week? It's solved. It's done. It's over. Move on to the next problem. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about an exciting new weight loss strategy that's going to make everybody into swimsuit models. Your job, choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. First, let's hear from Roy Blunt, Jr.
A stay at Valley Hill Spa in Van Nuys, California can be bliss. Herbal baths, massage, and guilt-free micro-dining. Or it can be something much darker. Do you need drastic weight loss help? Sign up for the Fatty Cam. You know how TV cameras add 10 pounds? Fatty Cam adds 50. And that's not all. On the first day of your stay at Valley Hill, you eat as you like. Then you watch yourself doing so as videoed by Fatty Cam. 50 UGDF pounds adds quite a lot of flesh bunched loosely around the face, neck, shoulders, and upper arms. But that's not all. You know how they make the babies talk in the commercials? Fatty Cam makes you slurp and drool and belch and moan. Take a deep breath and sigh and get a second wind, complete with squishy, guttural yum-yum noises. Then you squint and strain and your eyes disappear into your fat. There's a pause and boom, what a fart. You can take the DVD home to watch before mealtimes.
The Fatty Cam at a spa in Van Nuys, California. Your next story of a new way to lose weight comes from Amy Dickinson.
Cinnabon is known for its aromatic bun booths in airports. Their most famous product, the classic Cinnabon, recently caused film director Kevin Smith to get booted off of his Southwest flight. But now, after fattening up their clientele, the cellulite shop has decided to slim their customers down again. Meet the Cinnablast. Company spokeswoman Janet Daly says, "Everybody knows the quicker something passes through your system, the less time it has to land on your thighs." The diuretic properties of cinnamon combine with the natural lubrication of vanilla. And while this might be challenging for someone ingesting a Cinnablast before an international flight, for all passengers traveling over 2 hours, the company's going to sweeten the deal by throwing in an extra packet of frosting.
How appetizing. The Cinnablast. a weight loss product from Cinnabon. Your last story of a surefire diet plan comes from Mo Rocca.
Air kissing is for phonies. Air guitar is for fanboys. The French air diet is for losers. Weight losers. A feast sits before you. Slice into that mouth-watering porterhouse. Then lift a forkful up to your mouth, right up to your lips, and that's it. That's right. You can only pretend to eat the food in front of you. Practitioners of the air diet do get to consume one thing. They can pig out on salt soup. That's water mixed with salt, heated up. Bon appetit! With its emphasis on pantomime, you could call it the Marcel Marceau plan. Come on, if you're only pretending to climb a rope, it's not like you really need to eat. In fact, Marceau could have benefited from the air diet. Those stripes made him look really fat.
All right. Stephen, this is something that can help you lose weight starting today. Is it from Roy Blunt Jr., the fatty cam at a spa in Van Nuys, California? From Amy Dickinson, the Cineblast, about which I shall say no more. Or from Mo Rocca, the air diet, a diet plan in France where you simply pretend you go through the motions of eating food. Which of these is the real story of a weight loss technique?
Well, it can't be Amy's. That's just too disturbing. And the French have a history of mime. I am going to go with the fatty cam.
You're going to go with the fatty cam. All right. That's Roy's story. Well, we spoke with an expert on diet techniques about the true story.
The air diet suggests you make a plate of food, you cut the food, you can smell it, but you never actually eat the food. Mm-hmm.
That was Brandi Kosky. She's the editor of dietsandreview.com, and she was talking about the French air diet. She wrote a post about it on her blog. I'm so sorry, as you've no doubt figured out, that, believe it or not, Mo's story was the real story. Mm. You did not win our game, but you did earn a point for Roy with his remarkable and I think soon to be actually used idea for a fatty cam. Thank you so much for playing, Stephen.
Thank you.
Take care.
All that meat and more potatoes just ain't right like green tomatoes. Here I'm waiting, pal.
And now the game where we invite talented people on to do something which utilizes none of those talents. Our guest is one of the greatest bass players of all time, best known for his work with the great New Orleans funk band, The Meters. He once said, of all the labels put on musicians, he would just like to be known as a damn good musician. We are happy to oblige. So let's welcome a damn good musician to our stage, George Porter Jr. Welcome to Late Late Don't Tell Me. Thank you. So, you grew up here in New Orleans. Yes?
Yes.
My understanding is that the children in New Orleans are given musical instruments before they can walk. Is that more or less true?
Didn't happen in my house.
No, no. But you started pretty young.
I was 8, yes.
You were 8 years old, and what happened? Did you?
Well, it was my mom sang in the Catholic school choir, so, you know, there was only an organ in there, you know, and I wanted to play something that I could carry around. So, you know, I kind of asked. We actually, I think she gave us both myself and my brother violins when we were.
Violins?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. I ain't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
But that didn't work. And it was a few years later that I asked for a guitar. And I played on, not necessarily on the street, but in my neighborhood on the street, you know. So we learned how to play. It's pretty much on the street. We, you know, as a kid, we saw a lot of the brass bands that played. You know, there were a lot of people dying, so there was every time somebody died.
There it is.
In our neighborhood, there was a parade, you know.
Right.
So, you know, so we got to see a lot of brass bands, a lot of second lines and stuff like that.
Right.
What if you can't play an instrument? Like, are you like an outcast in New Orleans?
That's, oh, not at all.
That's what
not
Houston is for, isn't it?
Yeah. No. I was just there. No. The ones that don't play instruments usually become managers.
Yeah. Tell me about the Meters, because you guys are known as one of the seminal funk bands, and you guys kind of invented that. So if you could, for the record, tell me, what is funk?
I haven't figured that out. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to get away from forever is the labels that they stick on us as players, you know, because I play jazz, I play, you know, I play R&B, I play, I can play country. I haven't played it yet, but, you know.
Wait a minute, you've never played it, but if forced to, you could.
Houston is for.
I understand. If your woman ever leaves you in a trailer, you're ready to go.
Yeah. You know, so I'm kind of, you know, I like the idea of being just a musician, you know, and trying to live outside of the labels.
Right. Sure.
Where did the name The Meters come from?
We five of us stuck names in a hat.
Oh yeah.
And it was four of us, the four musicians, and Alan Toussaint, and the manager pulled out a name. We never saw it, but he said it was the Meters.
It's the Meters.
But we have to know, what were some of the other names?
Well, the name I put in was the Metrics.
The Metrics?
Uh-huh.
Could your manager read? Is that?
You know, because the idea was we were supposed to pick out names that had to do with meter.
Mm. Oh,
know,
I see.
Or timing. So, and that's what.
Oh, was this when the metric system was really hot?
No, we hadn't gotten that far.
Let me ask you one last question, which is, we're not from around here, and we always love your music and New Orleans music, but the language barrier sometimes gets in the way. So I wanted to ask you about some of your songs. You can tell us what they mean. Hey, Pocky Away.
No.
Is that right?
Hey, Pocky Way.
Hey, Pocky Way.
Hey, Pocky Way.
Is that Creole? What is that?
I don't know. I was told. I was told by one of the younger Neville brothers, who Uncle Jolly, Big Chief Jolly of the Wild Chapultepec, told him.
English.
I told him that meant, if you don't want to play, get out the way.
Wow. Hey, Pocky. Hey, no. Pocky.
Hey, Pocky. Way. Hey, Pocky. Hey, Pocky.
It's Creole for hokey pokey.
Right. Look a pie pie?
That don't have a damn look. I don't know what that was. There was, you know. Okay, I guess I should say that there were a few songs that when we were recording, management was put us in the studio. The tracks would be meter one, meter two, all the way to 10 or 12 or whatever. Yeah. And then we'd get sent on the road, and the album would come out, and those were some of the names.
Really? You had no idea.
What is it again? It's
we had absolutely no artist control over it.
Really?
That
stuff.
Like,
what is the name again? It's
Look a Pie Pie.
It's a good song. I would listen to that and just think about this magical, amazing world of mystery about which I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, you were feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, George Porter, we are delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game that this time we're going to call
The Funky Meters. How about The Parking Meters?
It's a natural thing. The question to be determined today, what does a meter know about meters? We're going to ask you three questions about parking meters. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in their home answering machine. Carl, who is musician George Porter playing for?
George is playing for Rose Krupka of Metairie, Louisiana.
There you are. He's from around here. First question, the beach town of Surfers Paradise, Australia, enraged laid-back residents when they introduced parking meters back in the 60s. The town decided to mend fences with the surfers by doing what? Was it A, staging an annual Bash the Meter party where people could smash old parking meters with hammers? B, they introduced the meter maids, scantily clad ladies who put change in meters about to expire? Or C, they announced meters would be deactivated when, quote, the surfing was too good to leave?
Oh, gosh, that's fun.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to be the meter maid.
Meter
maid. Girls?
Yeah.
You're right. Always a wild choice. Always go with a beautiful girl.
Wow, your groupies should be called the meter maids.
The meter maids of Surfers Paradise Australia are a famous attraction there. They wander about in gold lame bikinis, slipping coins into slots. Next question. Not everybody hates parking meters. One person found a unique way to show their love for the devices. Was it A, an Idaho man who created a private parking meter museum, which was declared illegal because he didn't have enough parking? B, an Oklahoma woman who had one installed on her gravestone set on time expired. Or C, a businessman in Massachusetts installed a parking meter in his office. You want to take up his time, you have to put a coin in.
That's boring, that last one.
I'm
sorry, Mo, you do know we can hear those thoughts. I just wanted you to be, you're actually speaking them aloud. Did you know that?
I just, if it's C, that's going to be a really big letdown. Because that's just not as
interesting. All right, well, there's Mo. That's what Mo thinks. But George, what do you think? Was it the parking meter museum?
I thought it was C.
Well, Mo's subconscious leapt out of his mouth to dissuade you. Are you still
No, no, no. I really do. I think it's C.
You think it's C? It'll be a letdown if it is.
I know.
Don't do it.
I'm going for C.
It wasn't C. It was B. It was the gravestone. Barbara Sue Meniere's headstone is pretty typical, except it's got an authentic parking meter installed on it with the meter set to time expired. All right. This is exciting. You've got one right with one to go. You get this last one right, you'll win it all. Here we go. Last question. Matt Bonds of Eugene, Oregon was arrested in a parking meter-related incident. He went to jail. What did he do that got him in trouble with the law? A, instead of a quarter, he inserted Necco wafers into them. B, he walked around downtown putting change into strangers' meters, saving them parking tickets. Or C, he stole 674 of them.
What state was this?
This was in Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, no, no.
B.
So you're going to go for B? He put quarters in people's meters?
Yes.
You're right!
We did it!
Way to go, Rose.
What happened was Mr. Bonds got mad at a parking meter attendant, and to have his vengeance, he walked around and shoveled change in dozens of meters. He was arrested and charged with, quote, harassment and obstruction of governmental administration, unquote. Carl, how did George Porter do in our quiz?
All I can say is congratulations, George. You had two correct answers. You win for Rose Kupka.
Well done. Well done.
Ooh. Meanwhile, this segment has gone a little bit long. Where did you park, George?
Who dat who said you couldn't win this quiz?
Yeah, you're right.
George Porter Jr. is the bassist for the legendary New Orleans band The Meters. He's also part of the Running Partners, who's starting a tour now. George Porter Jr., thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure. Carl takes advantage of the liberal laws in New Orleans and gets a drive-through rhyme daiquiri in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Mo, in Hollywood, image, as you know, is everything. So this week, Lindsay Lohan attempted to protect her good name by suing the financial company E-Trade for $100 million. Because they did what?
Oh, gosh, I know I'm going to need a clue, but I, is it they made fun of her?
Well, whether it was her or not is the question.
Oh, they hired an impersonator to do an ad for them?
Not quite. It's kind of impossible to hint, I'm afraid.
Oh, gosh, no, you
can't.
It
involves a baby.
Mm-hmm. It involves a baby. Oh, they did something. They impregnated her?
What?
That would be aggressive advertising.
I'm going to... Amy, do you know?
Well, they did this ad with the talking baby that talks about a milkaholic. That Lindsay's a milkaholic.
That's exactly right. Oh, they portrayed her as a milkaholic. So this is one of these, you know, weirdly disturbing baby commercials for E-Trade we've all seen, except Mo, I guess. And in this one, the male baby is explaining to a suspicious baby girl why he didn't call the night before, and the girl baby asks, that milkaholic Lindsay wasn't over? Mm-hmm. That's all she says. At which point, according to Lohan's lawyers, millions of people all over the world instantly said, what, Lindsay Lohan is addicted to milk? Lohan's lawyers say that just as with Oprah, she's a one-name celebrity. That just by hearing the name Lindsay, you immediately think Lindsay Lohan as opposed to Lindsay Vaughn or Lindsay Buckingham.
Or Lindsey Graham.
Or Lindsey Graham. Or simply choosing to do something more productive with your brain.
There's Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman.
Anyway, based on this instant Georgia identification with Lindsay Lohan, her lawyers are protesting E-Trade's implication that Ms. Lohan is a, quote, milkaholic. They say that's outrageous. They insist that, in fact, she's addicted to alcohol and pills.
Is there anything wrong with being a milkaholic?
Only if you're lactose intolerant.
I guess it, yes.
Amy, it's no secret the daily newspapers have been struggling to keep readers and compete with the internet. Well, a Belgian newspaper may have found the solution by making their newspaper what?
Edible.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Wait a minute. It's not edible then. Okay, read the question again.
They're trying to sort of bring it up to date, make it high tech, make it interesting, make it compete with the internet.
Sort
of James Cameron meets Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, my God.
They're making 3D?
3D newspaper, yeah.
Wait a minute. It can't be done.
It can be done. It has been done. A Belgian paper has offered a special 3D edition complete with 3D glasses so readers can get the sensation of being right there in the business section.
What is interesting enough in Belgium to be 3D? Like, oh, wow, I can see those palm frites coming right at me. Yeah. And the mayonnaise is just pouring off the page.
Well, it turns out it's not something they can do every day. It took them 2 months to prepare this one issue. So there aren't plans to make a 3D a permanent feature in the paper. It may be just as well. As it turns out, even when you're wearing those funny glasses, Maureen Dowd's column just seems one-dimensional. Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. There you can find a link to our blog, which is just going hot and heavy these days. And you can find information about our shows that is most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Cindy Prince in Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, we're pretty good, actually, I gotta say. We're having a pretty fine time today. In New Orleans. What do you do there in Gainesville?
I work in infection control.
Infection control?
Infection control.
Just keep your hands to yourself. No, infection control, sorry.
Could be the same thing.
All right. Well, Cindy, welcome to the show. Carl Castle, of course, is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and 2 of the limericks will be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
Is that discount for canned creamy soup on? And what do I pay for gray poop on? I'm not getting pay, so I snip and I trade. I save money with many a...
Coupon.
Coupon indeed. Desperate times call for desperate forms of recreation, and thus was born, we believe, extreme couponing. The Wall Street Journal reports that competitors in extreme couponing try and get as much as they can for as little as they can by combining coupons, buying in bulk. They say a triple is the most exciting 7 seconds in baseball. Well, it's nothing compared to a 3-for-1 deal on Johnsonville Brats.
In Belgium, the coupons are 3D.
Exactly. Here is your next limerick.
No service makes nerd girl and guy groan. For new tech devices, we're bi-prone. We feel a deep need for more apps and speed. We're addicts who jones for the
iPhone.
Right. Scientists at Stanford University say they have proved what we have all suspected. iPhones are addictive. Ooh. Quote, people really like their iPhones, said anthropologist and adjunct stater of the obvious Tanya Lerman, who conducted a survey of 200 iPhone users. A quarter of those people admitted to thinking of the phone as an extension of their bodies. Nearly half equated the potential loss of their iPhone with serious tragedy. And more than 75% of them, and this is true, admitted to sleeping with their iPhone nestled on their pillows at night.
Oh.
That is just crazy. Mm. My iPhone insists on its own pillow.
Oh, God. That's pathetic. I would never sleep with an iPhone. I sleep with my BlackBerry.
Exactly. Oh, I see. You go that way.
I have both.
People.
I sleep with my old rotary phone. But it, when I roll over on it, it leaves a mark on my cheek.
It does.
I know. It really hurts.
Cindy, here is your last limerick.
It's postmodern, straight out of Deleuze. This kosher Caribbean cruise. Restafardics may whiff at strong Benet spliff. For Jamaica seeks visits from.
Jews,
yes. Jamaica's tourism director, John Lynch, who is trying to create a program to entice more Jews to visit the island, he says Jamaica's Jewish culture is a, quote, well-kept secret. Ooh. It hasn't been a hard...
Yeah, really well-kept.
Restafardics, that's... you have dreads and guilt. I
mean. Exactly. Actually, what you have is dreadlocks and dread. Well, it hasn't been a hard secret to keep because the country has just one synagogue and no rabbis. But why should a simple lack of Jews prevent the island from becoming Jamaica? Cultures aren't all that different, after all. And besides, Passover in Kingston is a lot more fun. It's like, why on this night do we smoke the bitter herb? To see those knitted rainbow yarmulkes.
Well, no, but yeah, or just one treadlock on each side would be like payas.
Exactly.
That'd be nice.
Carl, how did Cindy do in our quiz?
Cindy, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Well done. Congratulations, Cindy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Amy Dickinson each has 3 points. Morocco has 1.
Oh, my God. How did this happen? And all the money my parents spent on college.
All right, Mo, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. According to the TSA, the blank list has doubled since the attempted Christmas airplane bombing.
The terrorist watch list.
Right, the no-fly list. A Pennsylvania woman known by the alliterative alias Blank was arrested on terrorism charges this week.
Jihad Jane.
Right. Former CBS News producer Robert Halderman was given 6 months in prison for attempting to extort late-night host Blank.
David Letterman.
Right. Witnesses in Moscow called police but kept their distance when they saw a Blank walk off with a 200-pound ATM machine over his shoulder.
The police walked off when they saw a man, somebody, a person, something, walking off with an ATM machine. A bear!
A sumo wrestler.
Oh, wow.
According to the New York Post, Blank has hired Ari Fleischer as an advisor and is planning to return to golf in 2 weeks.
Tiger Woods.
Right. Presumptive gubernatorial candidate and New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo recused himself from the investigation into Governor Blank.
David Patterson.
Right. Inspired by Netflix and Peapod, a new company called Man Packs is a subscription service which sends men blanks every 3 months.
Man Packs every month men are sent.
They're sent snacks.
No, they're sent fresh underwear. Whether you're a man or you've had the misfortune of simply seeing one of their skivvies, male underwear purchase, procrastination syndrome, or MUPS has affected you. You can sign up at several different levels with Manpack, starting with the budget 3-pack of budget tidy whities, otherwise known as the But What Am I Supposed to Do Thursday Through Sunday pack. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. He now has 11 points, and Mo has taken the lead.
Here we go, Amy. We flipped a coin. Amy has elected to go second. So, Amy, fill in the blank. Just as President Sebastian Piñera was being inaugurated, blank was hit with massive aftershocks.
Chile?
Right. With voter turnout estimated at 62%, the general election in blank is being hailed as a success.
Iraq?
Right. Speaking to law students this week, Supreme Court Justice John Roberts said President Obama's criticism of the court during the blank was, quote, very troubling.
Oh, the State of the Union.
Right.
Oh.
A Pittsburgh woman is suing Bank of America for mistakenly seizing her home, shutting off her utilities, and blanking.
Seizing her home, shutting off her utilities, and taking her dog.
Almost. Kidnapping her parrot. Ooh. Best known for his role in the movie The Lost Boys, blank died in Los Angeles on Wednesday.
Corey Haim.
Right. On Sunday, Sandra Bullock became the first woman to win an Oscar and a blank the same week.
A Razzie.
Right. For the worst performance of the year. To cut down on late-night traffic accidents near the center of town, the mayor of Petsica, Romania, has put up blank.
Late-night accidents. He's put up temporary traffic lights?
He's put up drunk crossing signs.
Wow.
They say attention, drunks.
Wait a minute. I saw some here.
You know those signs showing pedestrians with a stick figure?
Right.
Imagine signs with that stick figure on his knees crawling home from a hockey game. That's what the signs show. They say attention, drunks. Mm. The mayor says the signs are positive and helpful for people enjoying the local bars, but not everyone's a fan. Lindsay Lohan is already suing to have the signs taken down. Because she says the person in the sign is obviously her.
So wait, the signs are for the drunks?
The signs are for the drivers to be aware that there are drunks staggering
because
around.
Because a drunk, I don't think, would be able to read that sign.
It's for the drivers to know what that bump was. I just don't know.
Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 13 points, and Amy has taken the lead.
All right. So how many of them does Roy need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win.
Here we go, Roy. This is for the game.
All right.
Fill in the blank. According to the AP, class action lawsuits against car maker blank could cost them $3 billion or more.
GM. No, Toyota. Jesus.
You said GM, I'm afraid.
Oh,
Israel announced...
I knew better. I'm not going to play if you're going to just...
Ooh, does this mean I have a shot?
Israel announced plans for new settlements during blank's trip to the Middle East.
Joe Biden.
Right. Carlos Slim Helú of Mexico unseated longtime title holder blank to top Forbes magazine's list of the world's richest people.
The Microsoft guy.
Whose name is?
Bill... I'll think of it. Bill Gates.
Yes, Bill Gates. Police who searched Florida woman Rebecca Tracked Cater's car this week found her marijuana stash easily because it was hidden in a blank.
Hidden in her driver's license
thing. It was hidden in a box labeled Rebecca's Pot.
Oh.
First Lady Michelle Obama donated her inaugural ball gown to the blank.
To the Mardi Gras parade.
No. He's a Smithsonian. Although he isn't allowed to appear on television until September, blank announced plans for a 30-city theater tour with sidekick Andy Richter.
Conan O'Brien.
Right. A car thief caught inside a car was unable to escape because the car's owner kept blanking.
Kept waking up and pounding on his head.
No. The car thief was unable to get out of the car because the car owner stood outside and kept pressing the lock button on the key fob. The owner finds the thief sitting in the car trying to start it, but when the thief lunged for the car door to get away, the owner hit the lock button and trapped the thief inside.
But
then the thief tried to go for the hit it again. And hit it again. Every time the thief went for the door, oops, sorry. Wow. And on until police arrived. Police say you should never try to apprehend a criminal yourself unless it is this much fun. Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
Ooh. Roy needed 5 correct answers to tie, but Roy had just 3. So with 13 points, Amy Dickinson is
there. You go.
Champion.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that Eric Massa has admitted that he loves a tickle fight, who will be the next public figure to reveal an odd enthusiasm. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations, and Lindamood Bell, with summer instructional programs to help students read and comprehend to their potential at 800-300-1818. Lending Tree, with the innovative Loan Coach, which provides personalized financial advice for every step of the lending process at LendingTree.com. And Angie's List, providing consumer reviews on local professionals, from physicians and veterinarians to plumbers and roofers. Details at AngiesList.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Special thanks to Paul Masson and Ron Biava at WWNO New Orleans and the crew here at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. P.J. Miniman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Shillog, Eva Waltover, and Emily Enkin. Technical directions from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now panel, who will next reveal a weird hobby? Roy Blunt, Jr.
The Pope. Every afternoon drops everything to watch the soaps.
Amy Dickinson.
Nancy Pelosi's secret to her strangely youthful appearance will be revealed this week. Between sessions in the House, she hangs like a bat upside down in the congressional cloakroom.
And Mo Rocca.
Saints quarterback and hero Drew Brees will horrify New Orleans when he comes out as vegan.
And if any of that comes to light, panelists, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Girl Castle. Thanks also to Mo Rocca, Amy Dickinson, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to the good people at the University of New Orleans and everyone at WWNO. Thanks to the greatest audience. It has been my pleasure to stand in front of I and Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.